Legs, and Legs, I think, give an introduction, talk about the protocols, the mechanics, how it affects the node operators, how you would like to communicate with them, and so on.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Yeah, so Legs from Zepter, at least that's how I'm usually known, because there are too many Alexanders around, and conversations get difficult. So we've been working on Zepter for Partizia for quite some time now. But together with Partizia, we managed to get it out the door, so to speak. It's still a soft launch at the moment, so a community launch, which means that, you know, people who are in the Partizia communities, they are likely aware of the launch, but outside not so much yet. And that's basically with a purpose. For one, it gives the community a first chance to check it out, give feedback, you know, figure things out, and with that feedback, obviously, we will then try to improve upon the current state. And at the same time, it gives us a chance to, you know, measure performance and just see how the system operates before attracting a lot of people from outside the community at the same time. So liquid staking, I'm sure most of you are probably familiar to some degree with it. What it does, basically, it takes, in this case, MPC tokens and stakes it to various validators. So in our case, we don't run our own validators or anything like that. Some protocols apparently do, but we prefer to just spread them around community validators as needed, obviously. So we will be, like, our protocol will be checking things like, of course, how many, like, tokens are requested, what is the space still for a validator, if auto accept stake is turned on, because otherwise it might just be hanging there. And there might be other things in the future, but at the moment I think it's limited, quite limited, what we check on. Then we basically stake to as many validators as we can. So, you know, really ensuring that we do this in as a decentralized way as possible. There are a couple of benefits here, I think, for both for the community and for people who might be entering the Partizia network. I think it simplifies maybe the way that stakes are received, because you basically just go to an app and you put your MPC in, and it goes to one of the operators that needs tokens. And also the unstaking procedure is simplified, because of course you just unstake. It's also more predictable, as together with Partizia, we've created a buffer system where some MPC is basically hanging around in a buffer, and when you unstake, it starts a 2-week cooldown, and after that cooldown, you get the tokens. So I think that's going to be an easier way for people who hold MPC tokens to just decide to stake. The SMPC token, which is the liquid stake token that comes out of it, can of course then be used in a protocol for other things, like it could be in a liquidity pool on a DEX, or it could be in a lending protocol as collateral, or other options. It's a yield bearing token, so this means that the MPC that comes as a reward for staking is added into the SMPC, so to speak. So the value of SMPC compared to MPC increases. It has an exchange rate that can only increase, because, you know, we are only adding rewards. Yes.
So let's just really, really quick, and I'm not 100% sure if everybody here knows what liquid staking is. Does anybody on the call need just a really quick overview of what liquid staking is, or are you guys all familiar with it? If you guys need a quick review, just do a raise of hand. Oh, okay, great. Okay, perfect. Yeah,
I was going to say I can do it anyway.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so liquid staking solves a problem that happens when people invest in network tokens, and the network requires those to do certain operations, like validate certain transactions, and with Particia, that need is actually even higher, much higher actually than with, for instance, a proof of stake type network. The problem there is that the MPC, in other words, the liquidity, gets stuck, right? It's stuck on the server. You can't use it. You can't do anything with it. It's stuck until you unstake it, at which point, of course, the security of the network will either go, you know, it goes down, or at least there's less MPC available to do certain actions, certain processes. Liquid staking makes sure that the liquidity does not disappear. So that's why you get a token in return that you can use in DeFi. And if you want your MPC back, you just come back and you unstake. And that's the basic idea of liquid staking. There are certainly other possibilities there, but that's the basic idea. So it allows you to help the network with its operations while at the same time not losing all of your liquidity while doing it. I hope that explains it clear enough. And if not, then, you know, please let me know. All right. Cool.
I was just adding on to that. I think, you know, if you're totally new to the concept, that then also just try to go to the protocol, right? The Deceptor protocol, and just look at the interface and go to Lido Finance on Ethereum and learn about that. Like all these concepts, they are somehow similar. The app is live, right? So that's a great place to learn it in action. That's how I learned DeFi in the first place. In many cases, just, you know, get your hands dirty and then read on the side.
Yeah, well, we have a large amount of blogs on our lender, and an enormous amount of video material. Most of that is still focused at the moment on Flare, which was the first network where we released Scepter. But the concepts are the same, right? I mean, liquid staking fulfills the same role. Things like ideas like arbitrage or collateral or any of these things, they're all the same, same principles. They work the same way. So you can get a lot of information just by checking those out. There as well, it's a yield-bearing token, and there are some short videos that show you how those work. Even though that network has some differences, obviously, with Particia, the basic way of changing the exchange rate every time we add the rewards is the same. And the advantage with that is that you basically, you know, if you have, let's say you have 1,000 MPC tokens, you stake them, you get something close to 1,000 SMPC tokens back, and you put them in a protocol as collateral, let's say. So you're going to borrow against them or whatever. You never have to come back to Scepter until you unstake, because the rewards, you don't have to claim them. They're already in the SMPC. They keep adding. So the value keeps going up, basically. This also has the side effect that you tend to default on your loan a little bit less quickly than normally. So you don't get liquidated as fast because you have some overvalue. The overvalue is added constantly. You could borrow more against it, of course, if you want, but you don't have to go all the way back and then claim some tokens, put them also in the lending protocol and so on and so on. So of course that means that when you unstake that, let's say 1,000 SMBC in a year, you'll get back more MBC than you put in, and that more part is are the reward. So if the APY is like 30%, then you know you can guess how much you would get at that point. It would be something like 1,300 MBC that you would get afterwards. Yeah, I think those are like the basics. We expect the staking to pick up some time after we've launched the staking via Scepter, some time after we've launched, because of course most people have their MPC staked, or at least we expect that to be the case. So first it gets unstaked at some point, and then they have the option to stake via Scepter. So that will take some time. That is all right. I think in addition, what is interesting to mention is that we are looking to create a DEX pool of SMPC, MPC, which means that in case of you having to need your MPC back faster than 2 days, 2 weeks, you would even be able to go to a DEX and trade it. Of course, then markets value is applied and not our exchange rate necessarily, although arbitrage might take care of that. And if you want to know what arbitrage is, then I'm also willing to explain that one.
I think the DEX, when you mentioned it, we're talking about ZK Cross that's going to launch the pool, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think questions could help me out to get further. Well,
how about the benefit to the node operators? What are some of the benefits that the node operators will see? I think one of the challenges that the node operators had was, one of the challenges was that for certain node operators that was operating their node in a very respectable way. You know, their uptime was high, their block production time was high. They were having challenges getting stakes
from people. Yeah, so things like uptime usually become part of the things that we look at before we stake to a node. So that would increase the chance, the likelihood that you get staked to. And you don't have to go out hunting anymore for stakes, basically, right? That's something that will be reduced significantly, and you will probably find that if you have a request that it's probably already filled before you want to put it out, before you want to make that public, as in I want to go and hunt for it. I think you do it on Discord and maybe Telegram. So that might actually make your life a lot easier in that sense. Definitely. To give you an example, on Flare, we currently stake to like 60 validators, which is sort of limited there because of a network configuration thing. But we definitely tend to stake to a lot of validators, and usually uptime, some kind of behavior, like good behavior indicators are what we look for. And we'll put it in an automated system. So we're not going to be, checking, we're going to be favoring one over another based on whether or not we know you or not. It's going to be based on your performance and your indicators.
I think there's some questions. I think Pitbull's been asking some questions in the chat. I Maybe we could do that chat first, and then maybe we could do just like a really quick demo of how it looks like.
Yeah, I'll need to get something for that. I think I need to get something ready for that.
Okay.
So ask questions. I have the app open here, but I don't have a wallet connected. And of course, I would like to do that whole.
So I think people is asking, are rewards basically same as the standard Partesia delegation rewards minus scepter fees, or?
Yeah. So there is that. And of course, we didn't touch on that yet. Because I'm inside an app for the passwords and stuff. So yes, we use those rewards and we compound them. So that means that when we get rewards, we stake them again. So in that sense, what we've noticed is usually that our fee is offset easily by the compounding effect of over a year, where it might be harder for an individual to actually use the compounding because of needing to find another place to stake it and so on. And in this case, because we combine everything together, all the various stakes together, it's quite easy to allocate those.
I think Pitbull's second question is, do liquid staking also suffer cooldown on withdrawals and retractions?
So if you come with your SMPC to the protocol to unstake, then there is the 2-week cooldown, which I believe is shorter than the usual unstake periods that happen. And of course, you can choose that moment. So if you know that you want to have it back in like 2 weeks, then you just start your unstake. You can even, there's even a little, I can show that, a little item that allows you to put it in your calendar so you don't forget about it, because that's not an uncommon thing. Can I share my screen somehow? Yeah.
You should be able to.
Yeah. I'm not in my usual setup, so I'm a little,
no problem. Fighting
a little bit with my arrow, mostly. That's the thing. So here's the basic setup. I'm currently using the party wallet. I might need to find a password every now and then. So staking, unstaking tab, the requests. As you can see, I have a long list because I'm testing. these are like unstake requests. And as you can see, there's the little add to calendar item here, which basically just puts it into whatever calendar you have, so you get reminded. You can read it down here. So there's the cooldown of 14 days, and then there's a redemption period of 2 days, which means that you should claim those unstaked tokens in 2 days. And if you don't, then we just stake them again, and you can reclaim your SMPC. And this is done because otherwise it would just be sitting there and maybe you forgot about it and you wouldn't be earning any rewards for a long period. So we tend to just restake everything that hasn't been claimed. All right, let's see how often I have to go and fetch a password. Yes, often. Okay, not a problem, but... I'm so happy that that's not visible. Wow. So there are two transactions when you stake, because the first one, you need to allow the app access to the tokens, and the second one is the actual staking transaction. This is simply how these things are set up. As you can see, when we get more opportunities with S-Flare, we will put them here. So the idea is that, yeah, great that you staked, but you should actually use these somewhere to gain more yield or more rewards. And so we put that here. So the first one will, of course, be the DEX, and probably the second one is going to be the lending protocol. That's the usual place. There might be something here. So, and then unstaking is the same. So you just unstake. It's one transaction because we don't need to request access to the token at that point. It's one transaction, and once you've completed that transaction, it'll end up here, and you'll see both the amount of SNPC that you're unstaking and its value according to the current exchange rate. So the current one likely changes in 2 weeks, right? And during those 2 weeks, you keep on getting rewards, and that exchange rate will go up. So you will get probably more than this when you actually claim them, assuming that the rewards came in. I think they come in once a week. So depending on where you choose your moments, you should probably have up to 2 weeks of additional rewards in there.
And again, just to clarify, this is the perspective of a staker. So yes. Now the staker also doesn't need to go and hunt down different nodes. They can stake directly using the Scepter.
Yeah.
And then they'll also be able to get the SNPC token, which they can do what they want to do with.
Yes, correct. So they can go to another protocol and use that somehow, whatever they want to do. Often you see it's put up as collateral, then someone borrows stables against it, goes and does something else, and all of these things generate some kind of yield. So they're basically increasing their yield. Of course, it means they need to take care of their position, collateral position, to make sure they don't get liquidated. But those are problems for another time.
Yeah.
The last thing for a user is this rewards tab, which basically shows information on the pool size, the rewards that come in. Of course, now that we've just started, not much has happened, and it only pushes rewards in when there are enough, because like if we have one NPC to put into the pool, it doesn't really make sense to spend gas to put it in there. So we check those things. There is some kind of lower limit. But once we've created the liquidity pool, that should work every week. So you'll be able to check how much NPC was added to the pool every week with these little spikes. Another one that might be interesting is that we have this graph here. The green one is the exchange rate, so versus MPC. So you can see it here on the right side. You can see that one SMPC, if you unstake it, gets you 1.025 MPC. So you'll see that gradually go up, I guess, every week when the rewards come in, because that's like where the bumps happen. Then we've added also the MPC and the SMPC price in USD. So if everything is fairly stable, then the price of SMPC should almost always be just a bit above the MPC price. If it's not, then usually someone comes in and does the arbitrage. So they will buy some of the SMPC with their MPC, and then probably unstake it and have more SMPC or more MPC. That's what we've seen happen. But these kind of graphs might help people make those decisions. You can change the amount of days, so it becomes a little bit more clear where you are at the moment. Some information about the last time rewards came in and such can be found here. Yeah, currently we have a cap. I think that for us, that's a security thing. When we just start, we don't want to just be free for all, because before you know it, for some reason, you get so much MPC into your system that you wouldn't be able to figure out where to drop it. We want to check how the system works with a smaller amount first, and then up the cap once we are feeling that, yeah, the system is behaving as we expected. Because of course, when we test the system ourselves, we can test it with a certain amount of MPC, but not like, you know, the amounts that we assume people will bring in eventually. So you test this by going up in steps. It will show also the amount of stakers, which currently is not a huge amount, but I think there are a few people who have already found the protocol. That is funny to see. Yeah. Any other questions?
Okay, so it looks like there's no questions. So Lex, thanks for this detailed walkthrough. So the other aspect that we talked a little bit about was the ease of node operators being able to find delegations, because you're going to be looking for node operators that you would like to stake to. Yeah. So what are the criteria that you're looking for? That's number one. And how can node operators contact you to be considered?
Okay, so contact me. You can do that directly, but we can make sure that I'm in a certain group. If there's like a specific channel that I should be in on Discord or Telegram or whatever, then that's where I'll be. If for direct questions, but we will stake to any node that fits the requirements. So currently there are not too many, but we will definitely increase that amount to include things like uptime, like anything else that indicates good behavior. So those nodes that conform to those requirements, and we will of course make sure that those are always publicly known, they will automatically get staked to. Like we don't even touch that. The system automatically does that. It's just looking through the list of nodes, then checking if there are requests and how much space there is, whether or not the auto accept is on, and then any other performance related indicators that we believe are important. And of course, if you believe that certain things are important to note there, then that's where the communication channel comes in. When you think like, okay, I think you're not looking at this or this indicator, and we believe it's very important, then that's worth a discussion, and that's how we will modify the system to work better, basically, to improve the system for because when we improve it for the node operators, we also improve it for the staker. So in this case, you know, both of you in a way, or these both these groups are we see as our customers or as our partners, or however you want to describe that. Our community is our favorite word, at least. So.
I think you're already on our validator chat channel, right?
Yeah, I believe I am. So, you know,
I'll just take you in there now. Like,
yeah.
Then you can
see. Let's do that. Yep.
Yeah, and when you're contacting me, always make sure it's actually me, because I've noticed there are a lot of me's. I don't know if other people just find this group or if this is a group where you have to be accepted into. That has definitely been a thing that people think they are talking to me, but it's just someone who has managed to clone most of my profile. And they're very creative, even in the username. So we need to be on our toes there. But is this a closed group or is it open to anyone?
It's closed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that
only
that,
40.
Yeah, that prevents crazy stuff from happening. Yeah. I think.
You also have some text.
Yeah.
So I don't think we take scammers will not have the same tags, hopefully.
No, they usually can't get those tags unless you give it to them.
Yes, unless they compromise proofs, but
yes,
he's a security guy, so we should be fine.
I am, my background. Thanks, Lex. Before we jump into any other further questions, I think I wanted to actually ask Matthias. You know, we've been talking about the overall DeFi ecosystem in our network. Where does Scepter fit in? How important is it? And what is your kind of like your vision, your thought on where this kind of all fits in?
Yes.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Question. Yeah, sure. So I think in DeFi, there's like a bunch of kind of traditional core components, if you will. It's like the protocols we've seen across the major ecosystems, which convert into, for example, trading, on-chain activity, and also TVL. TVL is usually a very important metric here, right? So how much value of tokens is locked inside a protocol, and that is used to perform a range of metrics that you can integrate into a bunch of websites like DeFi Llama and so on. So you also get a lot of reach there. Liquid staking is a very essential one, and it's one of the few DeFi components, in my opinion, which can stand alone, right? Because it solves a real problem and it serves value in itself. You stake your native token, the protocol takes care of the delegate staking, and you get a liquid representation that you, for example, can transfer to someone or sell in some way. Where it ties into the bigger DeFi and some of the other protocols is, for example, you have a DEX and a lending protocol. So this is where you can really enable the liquidity representation you get in liquid staking, right? You can take this, in this case, SMPC, use it as collateral in a lending protocol, and then you can take it as far as you want into DeFi. So use it as collateral, lend some stable coins, use them in the DEX, and so on. That there is obviously a lot of risk and reward considerations in these kind of structures. But yeah, I think this is like one of the core component in DeFi to bootstrap it. Whereas more advanced DeFi would be decentralized perpetuals, more type of derivative things, something like, and Lex, you have to correct me, right? But there's something called liquid restaking and so on, right? Where you take your liquid staking token and you also somehow stake that to get another representation and whatnot.
Liquid restaking usually means that you put your liquid staking token in there, you get the liquid restaking token, and the way it generates yield is by doing all kinds of like risky stuff for you. So it's basically doing some kind of strategy to gain yield usually.
And I think just from a high level perspective, right, DeFi has been important from us because we want to, you know, build towards the kind of future of on-chain finance, right, both on the Web3 native side and on the enterprise side. We see a big future, and I think more and more people are seeing that there's an immense power in DeFi, and it's has the potential to become real competition to a lot of TradFi, even to banks and so on. So this is something we are really excited about. And we see like these core components, the basic DeFi as the starting point, which can turn into much bigger integrations with TradFi, for example, when you start to see stable coins, tokenized securities in all kind of shapes. This all ties together in the end.
Yeah, everything. Thanks, I think. I think everything that exists in traditional finance already exists in one way or another in DeFi, but of course it's still very much under works. And I think when regulations become more clear, it'll also become like easier to use in a sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks, Matthias. Thanks, Lex. Unless both of you guys have any other items to cover, I'll move into any kind of Q&A that people may have.
I just want to mention lastly, right, that now the soft launch is here, and we are building up towards a public launch, which will tie into a bigger campaign from our side. But right now, it's really important for us to support SEPTA in all ways we can, right? So we make sure that the protocols, the DApps who's building on Patricia blockchain, producing on-chain activity, helping us go out and grab communities, exposure to new token holders and so on, they need all the help they can from us, the core team at PBC, but also from the node operators and the wider PBC community. I think without that support, it's difficult to be successful, right? That's also why Lexi says community all the time, right? This is really what it's about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One thing maybe to mention is that I think in depending on where you live, obviously, or where you pay your taxes, that's probably more important. Liquid staking can be useful because you're not claiming anything, right? Usually, when you claim tokens, rewards, or whatever, it's seen as a taxable event in most Western countries, at least. And liquid staking does not necessarily fall under that because you are not claiming anything. So depending on, I'm sure there are countries where that still is called a taxable event somehow when we claim on your behalf, but in many countries that is not seen the same way. So that might actually be useful for some of the users and in their area.
Thanks, Lex.
I think people have from Pitbull.
Yeah. So people has a question about the target market for this and how we're going to market to them. And maybe it's just a good time to bring in Yusuf to comment a little bit about that. I don't want to put you in the spot here, Yusuf, but I think maybe it's a good opportunity for you and Lex to kind of talk about that.
You're not putting me in the spot. We've been speaking about some of it. No, you're not at all. We've been speaking about some of this internally. The first thing I'd say is, of course, SEPTA and the team there are very well experienced specifically around these types of campaigns. And Lex has mentioned Flare already. So there's a bit of a blueprint there around what works, what some of the hiccups may have been, and the challenges and how to navigate some of those. So that will be the base or the foundation. And then from that, naturally, with marketing, we'll see what works and what doesn't and adapt it based on context. On top of that, we've had a few more projects within the PBC ecosystem launching recently, so we can tie in some campaigns that have nuance to the rest of the direction of Patizia. So co-marketing with other projects and building it into the broader positioning, branding, piece, which we'll have a brand awareness campaign around in its own right, and we can tie that into what we're doing there. So I hope that answers it at a high level. Specific tactics aren't all necessarily tied down yet, and naturally in marketing that changes in any case. You respond to feedback on what's working and what's not, but we'll follow the lead of SEPTA in some instances, given their experience and background and what's happened with Flare. So maybe Lex, to use Bruce's point, not to put you on the spot, but maybe speak around what has worked and hasn't worked elsewhere, whether that's education or starting with community first, which we've discussed now, into wider campaigns. Over to you.
Yeah, so we definitely always did a community first approach. I think actually for Scepter, the hardest part is behind us, even though, of course, we don't have a huge community, or the community in Partesia doesn't know much about us yet. That is something we will definitely have to start. But we did already build quite a substantial following. So it's not the same as when we started, when we had like zero followers on X, for instance, and no one in our chats and such. When we start the push, it means various daily posts. There is a lot of educational material that we will work on, also rework, that we will make available. We have we usually do quite a bit of videos as well, both instructions, but also we'll probably have like live or recorded broadcasts with partners in the system. And of course, like as I said, like our entire community that we have in Flare will be exposed to Partesia. And I think that might get things started, but it never stops for us. So there is definitely going to be a push once we decide on that date together with Partesia.
And some specific examples. I mean, if you go into the Scepter Telegram now, you can see that Flare and Partesia are side by side. So having some osmosis from that joint channel will help. And then the community first piece, why it's important too to start using the system and playing around with it and giving feedback is one, so you get familiar and benefit from the rewards and the reason we brought Liquid Staking to PVC. But also we can tailor and cater some of our materials and educational materials to what the feedback responding to you guys effectively. So although I've mentioned Flare is a blueprint, there are of course some differences and context that we have to take into consideration. So the earlier you guys get involved and give us that feedback, the better. Anyone that sees me in TG knows I'm pretty much on all hours. And I've seen Lex is giving me some competition there in Scepter. So you'll always get a response fairly rapidly. And they move quickly as a team, which is great. So any feedback can be incorporated pretty immediately. I hope I haven't put you under too much of a strain there, Lex, but I'm sure you're welcoming the feedback in any case, right?
Yeah, I mean, feedback is just important because, you know, we produce what we think you need, but, you know, this might not be exactly what you need, or there might be something missing that would make it 10 times more valuable. So definitely something we're interested in doing. And as you said, like the people in the Flare community will see the posts happen in all our social media because it is literally the same server, the same Telegram channel, the same the same Discord server. So they'll just see those little like notifications pop up, and they'll go and check it out. We've built a lot of trust there. And that will make adoption a little bit easier, I think, for them. We will instruct them on ways how to get MPC and stuff like that, because of course that's always the first step, how to move funds over, stuff like that. We will help them with that. I'm very hands-on in these channels usually, especially Discord and Telegram. I'm like, okay, what do I do?
And actually, Lex, the important thing around the rebrand and the positioning is we're really trying to simplify delivery of content and the user journey, depending on what your interest is, is rather on the chain. So the reason that goes hand in hand is there's no confusion if we're getting some cross-pollination with Flare or any other types of new user. So it should be an easier educational journey and user journey more broadly. So yeah, they all go hand in hand and work together.
Yeah, I don't see particularly big problems there. Yeah, I said, like, when we start that push, I think it will be quite noticeable quickly.
Pitbull, did we answer comprehensively enough? I mean, there's still a couple of minutes, I think, left for any questions from yourself or anyone else. Perfect. Thumbs up is good.
Yeah.
These thumbs up is better, but we can live in hope. It's area for improvement.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
That depends on what side of the equator he's on, because otherwise the thumbs are actually going down, right?
Yeah, something like that. You can tell it's a Friday afternoon, right? Or evening.
Definitely. Yeah, I posted the lander URL in the chat, because that's the one where you'll easily get to current blogs and FAQs that we might already have up and stuff like that. So you can get some information there. And I said, like, I'm in the chat, so, you know, tag me with specific questions and I'll do my best to answer you. If it's during my day, then it's usually within an hour, but if it could be right away. But if it's
don't set expectations like that. They're gonna
yeah, well, I mean, I'm already trying to lower them. I check it every day. So I don't have weekends apparently. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Any final questions from anyone? Okay, great. So Matthias, Lex, thanks for jumping on today on the special AMA. I hope this was a very descriptive overview of Scepter. Really looking forward to seeing where this takes us, both helping the node operators find stakes easier, as well as improving our liquidity, and also with easier staking process for our stakers. Yes, this will be both published from a recording perspective, and I will also send out the meeting notes, AI meeting notes, after it's published.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you all, and we'll catch you guys all at the next Node Operator AMA.
All right. Cheers, thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Thank
you.
Bye.